You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, First Czech Life, in which we hear about a new showroom with modern handbags in Prague's Letná neighborhood. After that, another edition of Czech History with Jan Richter, who will visit the Antonín Dvořák Museum in Prague, which recently reopened after renovation. And we'll wind up the show with another part in David Vaughan's popular series from the archives, which we're currently rerunning. So do please stay with us. Now, Czech Live, hosted by Sarah Borůvka and Jan Wellinger, covers a wide range of topics to give you a glimpse of life in this Central European country. Today, it's fashion and business with Sarah.
It was some 6 years ago that Lucia Jamrichová started making crochet net bags. They became a huge success, and soon her brand Luciela Taschen was featured in magazines and newspapers. Now Lucia has decided to take her passion for designing handbags one step further. Her new designs are made from quality leather and can be touched, smelled and purchased at her new showroom on Letná's Veverková Street. That is where I recently met her to talk about bags, her love for crafts and fashion, and what it feels like to be sitting in front of one's own newly opened showroom.
Actually, I feel like home because I live in the same house where the shop is. Shop is called Showroom. It's a presentation of two brands, Luciela Taschen, which is my brand, the bags. And another brand presented here is Antiperla, which is jewelry with pearls from Asia.
And your own brand, Luciela Taschen. Maybe you could talk a bit first about the name. I believe Taschen is German for bags. And then about the design. Maybe you could describe your beautiful bags.
Okay, so Luciela Taschen, it was founded in Berlin. When I lived in Berlin, I had nothing to do, so I tried to find out what I'm going to do. I couldn't find a job, so I started to make net bags, crochet net bags. And once I went to sell it at the market, at the flea market in Berlin, and the same day I was going there, I just found out I don't have any name for the things I'm going to sell. So I just made this brand, Luciela Taschen. Luciela is my nickname. One of my friends is calling me like that. And Taschen, in German, it means bags. And it's also this famous publishing house, which I like. So I thought about connecting those two things, and I made this brand, Luciela Taschen.
And I believe that your net bags were met with quite a success, and they were widely reported on, and they sold quite well?
Yeah, it was quite successful in the beginning, because there was no such bags in here when I started in 2006. Yeah, and I had quite nice articles in the press, which helped a lot, like Marianne magazine or some newspapers. So it was nice and supporting from people who bought it, because it was quite personal, because I made it according their wishes, like the different colors. Yeah, so I had many good reactions on that.
And you make all your goods, all your products by hand. Do you have any training in terms of crafts or handiworks?
Now, we are three sisters, and my mom always used to make clothes for us. So we also started to make things. So I can crochet, I can knit, I can sew, and so on.
So I believe you were telling me it's quite time intensive to crochet these bags, and you have since moved away to another type of bag, which is the one that we can see here now. What are those bags like?
So new Luciela Taschen, I call it Luciela Taschen leather. It's made of leather. It's a circle. It's two circles, which is it's quite flat, but still you can put some things in there. For example, some documents, a little laptop. And you hold it in the hand. There is no strap for it, but it's very stylish bag. Each one is one of the kind, one color combination from different types of leather.
And where do you source your leather, and who actually makes those bags for you?
I have a person who delivers leathers for me. So it's a guy from outside of Prague. He's got his own business with the leathers, so he always searches for special kinds of leather for me. Now he's searching for gold leather, which is quite complicated for a few months, so I hope I will success in this. And then after a long search, I found a very handy craftsman who can sew the bags for me, who also works for like famous brands, like repairing some stuff for boutiques in Pařížská street sometimes. So I'm very happy for that, because you can see the quality of how it's made. It's really high.
And when did you first come up with the design, and maybe what inspired you for this kind of simple, very contemporary look?
I made first of the bags, I made maybe 1.5 year ago, and I was testing it. And I was getting reactions from people, and it was quite positive. So last autumn I decided to start a business, like really do it seriously. And I started to search for materials for people to help me and all the rest. But what is the inspiration for design? I don't know, like circle, it's very basic shape. And some people say it's very feminine also. And the square is for men and the circle is for women. So maybe this is the inspiration.
Well, it certainly works and it looks very nice. So you opened your business at a time when everyone is talking about the European debt crisis. Everyone's talking about how bad the economy is. It's quite courageous to go ahead and open your own business. Is this a long time coming?
Yeah, I'm a brave girl. I just thought I want to do that. And I think there is always a way to find the solution for the thing. So I rented this space, which the price is not so high, so I can always make it somehow. And I don't do it with a lot of investments. So I try to go step by step, like first make smaller amount of bags, not so many designs. And later, if it works well, I can start with bigger production maybe. But I don't want to make it too big from the beginning. So I don't want to do so much publicity. I don't want to make too much goods in the beginning. So I see how successful it is.
That sounds like a wise businesswoman speaking. How would you describe the market in the Czech Republic for young designers who are trying to establish themselves? How difficult is that? And what do we have here that gives them an opportunity to present their goods?
What helps a lot, I think that all those like special fashion events, like a Code Mode, which is just starting this Thursday, this week, where all the designers can sell their stuff. And also, I think there are quite many design shops now all over the Czech Republic, not only Prague, but also in Brno. For example, there is a great shop in House of Art of Brno, Leporello shop, where they have great stuff of many, not only Czech designers, but also world designers. I think there are options to sell the stuff now, even if you don't have your own shop. So there are possibilities to present it in the shops.
And I believe your official opening date is next Monday. What are your hopes for the shop or for the future of Luciella Taschen?
We call it showroom. It's also the name of the shop, of the space. It's called showroom. So we are not going to be open every day. And we will be open definitely like 3 days a week. Monday, Wednesday, Friday afternoons. And then we want to spend some time here and create the things. And I hope it will be a meeting point for not only friends, but also for customers. Next to us, there will be a little bistro opening, maybe in the same time as we. So we hope we will make this part of Letná a bit more alive.
And maybe we can take a look inside and look at some of your bags. So you have them all lined up against a wall. Maybe you can describe some of the colors that are available.
Okay, so let's start with red. I like red very much, and also it seems people like it a lot in combination with black. So I have bags which have one side red, the other can be orange or black, or it can be also combination on one side of two or three colors.
And you also have, which I really like, these metallic leathers, the silver.
Yeah, so I have some bags with silver. I don't have any whole silver bag, but I have always combination with red or black or dark green or brown. And then what is also very, very popular is bronze leather, which is also in combination with black and other colors.
And we can also get them in suede, which if I touch it here, has a really kind of soft look and they smell incredibly nice. And let's take a look at this other type of bag, which is a square felt. You sew these entirely yourself?
Yes, yes. This is just made, like these days. They are brand new. I just I'm still working on finishing it, and I want to present it in code mode as a prototype so I can see reactions of the people. It's always square, and it's a combination with leather straps, which can be longer or shorter. And it's not only for women, it can be also men's bag.
And it looks like you could really fit everything in there that you need for a day at work, which is handy. What brought you to design handbags of all things?
Actually, I don't know. I like bags a lot. And I used to buy it a lot in secondhand shops because they are better quality than what you can see now. And actually, I like old things, and I like natural materials like leather and felt.
And lastly, are you in touch with designers in other cities who are kind of doing the same thing as you, kind of up-and-coming people who are opening showrooms, trying to do something new and exciting?
Yes, I try to be in touch with them, and I also try to check the competitors because I found out there are another bags very similar to mine, which somebody's producing without knowing my things, I guess. So I have to be careful not to make the same stuff as the other people.
Sarah Borůvka with that edition of Czech Life. Tune in for a fresh edition in a fortnight's time, and that one will be with Jan Velinger. Now, as regular listeners may have noticed, Radio Prague's long-standing series Czech History now has a new Saturday slot and comes up once a month. In this edition, Jan Richter will take you to the Antonín Dvořák Museum in Prague.
Prague's Antonín Dvořák Museum recently reopened after renovation with a new program dedicated to the life and work of the famous composer. Entitled The Journeys of Antonín Dvořák, it offers a new look at the composer's stays abroad. It also features an exhibition on Dvořák's Czech-American friend and collaborator, Josef Jan Kovařík, who worked with Dvořák during his stay in New York. Visitors have to make a little extra effort to reach the Antonín Dvořák Museum in Prague. It is located in the new town, and you have to cross a few busy streets to get to it. But once you leave the urban noise and bustle behind, you'll find yourself in a quiet area with rows of somewhat stern 19th century hospital and university buildings. It therefore comes as a bit of a surprise when you reach a slender and graceful Baroque villa which houses the museum dedicated to the famous composer. Kateřina Nová is one of the museum's curators.
The general idea of exposition is journey. It's because Antonín Dvořák was extremely traveling his time comparing to his contemporaries. So the first time of the exposition is called Journey to Prague, and it describes Antonín Dvořák studies on the organ school, his first work and first compositions.
Born in Nela Hozeves, a small town just north of Prague in 1841, Dvořák came to the capital at the age of 16. At an organ school, which also taught composition, the young Dvořák created some of his first works, including Preludium in D major, which was publicly performed in July 1859. On the first floor of the lovely villa, visitors can also see some of Dvořák's original music scores, as well as some of his personal belongings, including his desk and chair.
It's a furniture from Antonín Dvořák study room, his original property, and it comes to Museum of Antonín Dvořák because his widow, Anna, donated to the exposition. Here we can see Dvořák's glasses, watches, and other stuff, like this thing for ink.
One of the museum treasures is Antonín Dvořák's piano, made in 1871 by the Viennese firm Bösendorfer.
We are lucky that we have his piano he used to play, and which was located in his study room in Žitná Street.
Do you play the piano?
No.
Well, could you perhaps make a little sound just for listeners?
Just sound, not music. Okay.
Moving on, curator Kateřina Nová explains that another section of the new exhibit deals with Antonín Dvořák's rise to fame.
The second part is dedicated to his most favorite pieces, like Moravian duets and Slavonic dances. And the reason is that these compositions made him famous in international level. So this part of exposition, it's called Dvořák's Journey to Europe.
After years of struggling to make a living, Dvořák received a generous stipend from the Viennese government, which allowed him to dedicate more time to composing. The 1870s were a happy time for the young family, until tragedy struck. In 1877, both of Dvořák's children died. Broken by grief, the composer created what was to become one of his best-known opuses, Stabat Mater. Built by one of the masters of Bohemian Baroque, Kilian Ignác Dietzenhofer, in the early 18th century as a summer retreat for a Czech aristocrat, the building changed hands many times before Antonín Dvořák's museum was founded there. Kateřina Nová explains.
The museum was founded in 1932, and before it has changed many times its function. It used to be a cattle market, a girls' school Minerva, and many other. Society of Antonín Dvořák decided to found his museum, so they chose this building and turned it from a city and founded a museum here.
The next part of the permanent exhibit follows Antonín Dvořák on his famous journey to the United States. Dvořák arrived there in 1892 as a famous composer to take over the National Conservatory of Music of America in New York. The exhibit features some documents from this time, including a sketchbook where Dvořák recorded some of his pieces.
It's his sketchbook where we can see some motifs from his American compositions, then a picture of his family and his friend Josef Jan Kovařík, and a picture of the director of National Conservatory of Music, Janet Terber.
Antonín Dvořák stayed in the United States for 3 years. He received a very nice salary, $15,000 a year, according to the exhibit, but he still decided to return because of his family. Dvořák and his wife had 6 children by that time.
I think he liked the United States, but still he was a loving father of children who stayed in Czech lands. So he was missing them for sure, and he also missed the nature of Czech lands. So he was, of course, he was satisfied there, but still he was wishing to go back home.
Didn't he ever consider staying there, bringing his family perhaps to the United States and, you know, staying there, making a living there?
No. If you read his correspondence from this period, for sure no. Because, as I said, he missed Czech country and Czech people, and Czech language, Czech food, everything.
He must have spoken English, though. Do you know if he spoke English?
Yes, he did. We know that because during his life he traveled many times to England, for example. He was there 9 times, conducting there his pieces. And also his correspondence with his English publisher is written in English.
When Antonín Dvořák left for the United States, he was not alone. He was accompanied by his friend and collaborator Josef Jan Kovařík, an American Czech whom he met in Prague and who served as his secretary during his stay in America. A new exhibition located on the museum's second floor is dedicated to Josef Jan Kovařík, whom Dvořák affectionately referred to as Indian.
This Indian, Josef Jan Kovařík, was Dvořák's close friend and co-worker, and they spent together 3 years in New York. He was his something like secretary. He helped him with everyday routine, with communication with institutions and so on.
Kovařík came from Iowa, where his parents had emigrated from the Czech lands. As a gifted musician, he came to Prague to study music.
He decided to study in Prague Conservatory at the time when Dvořák was decided to go to New York. So they met in Prague, and Antonín Dvořák asked him to wait with his departure to United States, wait to his family and go with him and be his guide for a while.
Josef Jan Kovařík even invited Dvořák to his home in Spillville, Iowa, where Dvořák wrote some of his American compositions.
In the summer of 1893, Kovařík invited Dvořák to come to his native village, Spillville, in Iowa. Dvořák agree and they went there to spend 2 months together. From this period and from this place, famous American string quartet and quintet came, and we know that Dvořák loved Spillville and the nature around.
After Dvořák's return to Prague, Josef Jan Kovařík went on to become a respected violinist in the United States, and his death in 1951 was even reported in a New York Times obituary, a copy of which is also featured in the exhibition. Visitors can also listen to some of Dvořák's most famous pieces, including some remixes of his works by Romanian artists from a recent project by the Czech Center in Bucharest. More information about the museum, its location and opening hours can be found at the National Museum's website, nm.cz.
That was Jan Richter with Czech History, and in the next few minutes we'll be staying on the subject for another part in David Vaughan's From the Archives.
The 1960s had seen a thriving musical scene in Czechoslovakia, which had been broadly tolerated by the regime, especially during the 1968 reforms. With the political clampdown of the early 70s, rock and pop music were also to suffer. But this was a gradual process, and initially at least, the communist authorities were careful not to go too far to alienate young people. Here is the head of news and current affairs at Czechoslovak Radio, Kvetoslav Fikes, in 1975, sounding unintentionally comic as he tries to explain why the regime should not reject pop music outright.
Setkávám se se starými soudruhy, kteří taky řeknou, co to tam hrajete, tam to křičí. A říkám, vážený soudruhu, co poslouchají tvoje děti?
I sometimes meet old fellow comrades who say to me, what's that dreadful racket? And I reply, what do your own children listen to? And they say, that sort of music. And I say, look, we want young people to listen to us. Shouldn't we take advantage of that opportunity? Why don't we do our own songs with that jangling noise that the young people like so much, but putting our own words and ideas into them? The country's biggest annual pop music festival, the Bratislava Lyre, had been going since 1966, and it carried on throughout the years of normalization. Radio Prague's Olga Santová was there to report on the event in August 1970. I'll let you make your own judgment on the quality of this particular band.
That was one of the many Czechoslovak beat groups, a group called, believe it or not, Shut Up. And the soloist was Jiří, or George, Helekal. Czechoslovak teenagers playing and enjoying much the same kind of music as their counterparts in the rest of the world.
Radio Prague's Olga Santová. But Olga wasn't entirely impressed by what she heard at the festival. It is worth remembering that by 1970, many of the most popular Czechoslovak singers, who had been stars at the Bratislava Festival before the Soviet invasion, were banned from performing in public.
Generally speaking, I do think that this year the foreign guests were on a much higher level than the Czechoslovak participants. But since the Bratislava Lyre is first of all an annual competition of Czech and Slovak pop songs, I cannot ignore that aspect of the event. So, here goes. This year's contest was marked by a noteworthy absence of top Czech and Slovak singers, a fact that gave the younger and less popular set a chance in the limelight. I guess that is a good thing, and perhaps the future of our pop music will benefit from it. But then, this was no singers' competition. It was the songs the jury was judging. And as the best of those submitted, it chose this one called Words. I am looking for the words the wind has blown off into the streets. I am waiting who will now come to caress me. Those are part of the lyrics sung by Slovak singer Marcela Lajferová in this winning song of the Bratislava Pop Song Festival.
That was part of the winning song in the 1970 Bratislava Lyre competition, proving that kitsch was alive and well in 1970s Czechoslovakia. In next week's From the Archives, we'll hear how the regime's tolerance of pop music had serious limitations.
David Vaughan with From the Archives, and I'm afraid that's brought us to the end of today's programme from Prague. If you'd like to contact us, then please write to english@radio.cz. And of course, you'll find all our programmes in text and sound at www.radio.cz. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us today and take care.